from Sierra Leone in Africa. I am Theophilus. I guess most of you would have heard that name, Theophilus Katush. I've been invited here by you guys, especially the elders of Brownsburg, in the person of Mike Hunt, Lanny Horsfield, Eric Mizell, Dave Roberts, and Glenn Eldridge. My wife and I, Mabel, we are so glad to have gotten this invitation to be with you all. And I just want to spend at least 25 minutes to go over some of the caveats that the Bible gave. That is the warnings against false teachers. I came from a country where Pentecostalism is taking over. And most of our people are going over to the teachings of the Pentecostals. And what we are trying to teach, most people are looking at it as if it is not enough for them because they want to be measuring the worship. A whole lot of people measure the worship. They think they are God. So for that reason, many a time, after church service, somebody may likely ask you on the street or on the way going to your house, is how was the service? Or if you ask somebody, how was service today? They'll say, oh, I enjoyed it. Oh, I enjoyed the music. Oh, I enjoy what the preacher told me that I should contribute. They do not know that some of these things are not in the New Testament. So prior to this, in Deuteronomy, if you're with your Bible, in Deuteronomy, something was written by the writer who we believe to be Moses. It says in verse 18, Deuteronomy 18, it reads, I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren. I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. Verse 19 says, and it shall be that whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. Verse 20, it says, but the prophet, here is our key verse, but a prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name which I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die. But a whole lot of people in a so-called Christian system of things now in the world, they do not adhere to this. But it was the same thing in during the old, when we go back to Ozzy, or you might call it Ozzy. Ozzy had to stand up and give a serious warning to the children of Israel because they made the good Lord God vex. But a lot of people, you may ask Theophilus, do you think that our Jehovah God is vexed with people who are teaching the wrong thing, or these new prophets who are prophesying presumptuously? My answer here will come from Hosea chapter 4. It's a familiar verse in verse 6. It says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So we're beginning to think that these so-called pastors in this Pentecostal system of things, have they ever read this, that God could destroy you if you happen to teach or preach the wrong thing, and if you reject the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So if we drive down the Bible quickly and go to Galatians chapter 1 in verse 6, I guess that should be familiar also. It says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who had called you into the grace of God to a different gospel. That rings a bell. A different gospel? Is there a different gospel? Yeah, there is. Verse 7 says, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to prevent the gospel of Christ. So we have a different gospel, which is satanic, which is full of mysticism, which is filled with philosophy. So how do we know this? Paul continued to give this caveat. It says, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert. Yeah, again, we see perversion. People are mixing up. More or less, it's like the word syncretism. They syncretize God's word. That is to say, they bring their philosophy into the gospel and mix it up for their own good. So that leads us to our scriptural text. Our scriptural text reads, especially verse 2 in chapter 1 Timothy 4, verse 2. Let's just skip verse 1. Okay. Verse 1 is where I want to dilate on, it's where I want to hinge on. Verse 1 reads of 1 Timothy 4. Now the Spirit speaks expressly, says that in latter times, some will depart from the faith. I think this should come up. Okay? Okay. Let me go back, I guess. Okay. Some will depart from the faith and giving heed to deceiving spirits. I do not know whether most of us know about this deceiving spirit thing. But the most amusing or the most serious thing here is giving it to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. A whole lot of people do not believe that there are spirits that are demonic in this world. A whole lot of people. When I was a young man coming up, I never used to believe there is anything like witchcraftry. Not until when I studied the Bible deeply. I never knew that there was anything like a demon. But today, probably if you do not know, the Bible is saying some will depart from the truth, some will depart from the church of Christ, some will one day leave the congregation at Brownsburg, and because they will be enticed by a church that practices mysticism, some will be drawn away to a church where they believe that you have to be a PhD holder, a doctorate degree holder, or a master's degree holder before you become a member. Some will one day depart. I'm not a prophet, neither my father had been a prophet. But I'm saying something that we were having something like well over 250 to 300 membership in our congregation at Priscilla Street. Many have gone away. They have been drawn away by this type of spirit where they want to hear the organ being played. They want to hear the guitar. They want to hear the trumpet sound. They want to hear the cymbal being played. And then they've gone. So if it happened that way with us, it could happen anywhere. So now, Peter and Paul went on to say, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, like that. So, but the emphasis here is we should be very, very careful to whom we listen to. My grandfather was one time the treasurer of a liberal Church of Christ in a community, if I call it even, people will know it. They used to call the place Tengbe Town. My grandfather, little by little, he got carried away by the JW, that is the Jehovah Witnesses. So as a small boy growing up in the seventh grade, eighth grade, I wanted to ask my grandfather, I said, Papa, I used to call him Papa. I said, Papa, why is it that you are listening to these people? When they come to the house, they do not pray, and straight away they start using literatures. Why not the Bible? Whoa. Excuse me. It was not well said. Okay. Let me see if I can get that. I hope I won't. Okay. Hold on a minute. Wow. Hello? Okay. I got it now. So, that was a typical example of my grandfather was almost carried away by the Jehovah's Witness. Because they bring in a lot of literatures, a lot of magazines with beautiful pictures. And do you know what? A whole lot of people love to see beautiful pictures. And then they could easily be carried away by these pictures. So it had been with my grandfather. He was almost carried away and until he was taught again how to come into the true gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, Paul, at one time, in most of his letters, he was given these caveats, these warnings to the churches in Asia Minor. One that stands out is this, the one that we call the Colossian heresy, the Colossian wrong teaching. This Colossian heresy was brought up by Paul because the church in Colossae was going in the wrong way. They were teaching the wrong thing. So Paul had to warn them. If you have your Bibles, we go to chapter 1 of Colossians, you will notice that Paul gave a strong warning, a caveat to the people of God, when we can look at this in chapter 1 of Colossians, where Paul says, Paul was trying to draw their attention to the Almighty Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ is supreme. Jesus Christ is over. I do not care whether you have 3-4 doctorate degree, Jesus Christ is above you. I do not care whether you have the biggest demon that you are worshiping, Jesus is above that demon. I do not care whether you can bring all kinds of extortion or seducive spirit where you try to talk to people and try to extort money from them, that like we are seeing all over the place now. These are Pentecostals, they are expert extortionists. They try to draw money from people so that they can buy their private plane. Take it from me. There is a case going on now where one of these big pastors in the Pentecostal system of things said that the aeroplane that he is using had been around for about 7 years. It's old, so he wants a new aeroplane to be traveling here and there that will cost over $25 million. I was shocked. Not only that, it has just been found out that same pastor, so-called, is always hanging on with P. Diddy. Some of you, the young people, know P. Diddy. You know Puff Daddy? Yeah, he had been hanging out with Puff Daddy. And that's the most shocking thing. How on earth you have been telling people that they should live the born-again life? You've been telling people that they should live a correct life. At the end of the day, you are in your shorts, you are in your Hawaiian shirt, hanging up with people like PDD and all of those kind of people. That's shocking to some of us who come in from all the way to Africa. We have people who are dedicated in listening to people like T.D. Jakes. We have people who are so dedicated. Long time ago when I was a young man coming up in Liberia, where I grew up, the day they heard that Jimmy Swaggart fell from grace when it was proven beyond a reasonable doubt that he had been doing some adulterous things. The Assembly of God people in Sierra Leone, in Liberia, in most African countries, we are crying openly on the streets, saying that they lied on the man and what have you. But it fell. Probably some of you may have heard of Jim Baker and his wife Tammy. If you have never heard, they had this kind of a ministry. That ministry, it made so much money, it extorted a whole lot of money from people that Jim Baker ended up in jail. Because the government of America proved that he had been stealing money from people, he had been making money without paying taxes and all of that, and he claimed that it was money from church and all of that. What about the Oral Roberts case and several others? We are just naming all of these because these men, we are some of the men, like in Galatians, Paul warned the church, and he's still, these passages of scripture are still warning the church. Paul says, I marvel that you are so soon removed. I'm so marveled that you are turning away from him who called you into the grace of Christ, into a different gospel. Most people do not know that they have been swayed away. They have been taken away from reality. They have been taken away from the true gospel. And a whole lot of people do not know. A whole lot of people do not question things. A whole lot of people do not have the Berean kind of phenomenon. That they in Berea were what? They were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they do what? They search the scriptures to see whether these things were so. A whole lot of people in this world, the Christian world, so to speak, do not bother themselves to even search the scriptures. But Paul gave this caveat that I love, this warning against these heretic things. He said, but even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. You got that? Verse 9 in Galatians 1 says, as we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches, even Theophilus, if I preach anything contrary to the gospel of Jesus Christ, what would I say? You look for some rags and chunk it or send it to me so that it hit me. So here again, and Paul was saying, as we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than that you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men of God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bond servant of Christ. We are servants of Christ. This goes for us preachers. Paul to the elders. The elders here would know this better. Paul to the elders in Act 20, verses 28, 29, Paul gave this caveat, which is more familiar to most of us. Paul says, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God." One thing I want to say here is, I've been in the Church of Christ since my youth. I've been preaching the gospel for over 30 years. And this scripture was one scripture that I was afraid of. The way we were looking at things, I was even afraid to become an elder. Today I'm an elder. But the day we were ordained, the day we were called up to in that church to become elders, I shed tears because of this passage and several other passages for elders. It took us, so that you know, it took us 54 years for that Priscilla Street Church to ordain elders. Even though we used to see the warning set in order the things that are lacking, that was one thing that was lacking. Leadership was not in that church. But today we are happy that and today I'm not afraid because we have tried to declare the whole counsel of God to a certain extent. Verse 28 of Acts chapter 20 says, "Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves, that is wicked men, will come in among you, not sparing the flock." Sound pathetic, right? Also, verse 30 says, "Also from among yourselves," this is what we are afraid of, "also from among yourselves, men will arise speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years." Okay, that's another sermon for another day. So I'm trying to do here today is to draw our attention that I'm looking at this lovely congregation, so filled with lovely people. I do not know whether some people are invited here today. If you are invited here today, you are blessed to hear such. Probably you've never heard that not everything is the same according to those who are preaching the gospel, according to how churches are organized after the gospel. A whole lot of people do not even know about this non-institutional and institutionalism. A lot of people do not know about conservatism and liberal. A lot of Christians even today do not know these things. But these are the caveats that the Bible is giving warning, especially to elders, that we have to be mindful and teach, feed the flock with the spiritual food so that they will know that such things exist. But Paul says that I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. I want to share a short story. When the war broke out in Liberia and we were taken back to Sierra Leone as refugees and returnees, when we started worshiping at Priscilla Street, what we met, even so-called Church of Christ, we met a different kind of worship. We met a church That congregation, my wife grew up from around the age of 15 in that congregation. And then we met them. We met a lot of people in the front seat, all putting on the same kind of clothing. So we asked, they said, what is this? He said, well, today is Thanksgiving for women. Who? Thanksgiving for women on a very special day. How do you go about this? They say, once every year we do this. And another time we saw the youth. They are all clad in the same attire, looking good. But one thing about that bothers us was people were paying attention to those who were putting on the same kind of clothing instead of paying attention probably to some scriptures or to the preacher of the day. There was a time when my wife and the other ladies, and they put on some kind of unique kind of a dress. It was so, right now she's clad in some kind of a thing. Just imagine about 60 people putting on the same kind of dress. If it is the first time, you'll be drawn to that. You'll be looking at that. But this is beautiful. This is not beautiful until. So the day we started saying that we have not seen this in the New Testament, we have not seen this kind of thing where the church need to be dressed this way. What about if those who do not have the money to purchase this thing, what will happen? That brought enmity. That brought some enmity between we who were refugees, or so to speak, or returnees from Liberia, from the war, and those who had been in Sierra Leone. It brought a serious strife. It brought a serious divide. Imagine within the Church of Christ. Okay, if you have heard that, and let me give you this. When we started doing that, the church got split. And I pray that nothing trivial will not split this church. I must say this on behalf of the elders. This church has been a very, very, very good church to me and my family. You people are so nice. If I do not make that commendation, then I'm a wicked preacher. You people are so nice. Your elders are so kind. They are so close to my family than any other thing I've experienced in life. Today I'm here to say thank you. Thank you. I'm so emotional. I don't want to shed tears. Well, your kindness has surpassed any other thing that I've been thinking in my life. You people are good Christians. You people are good people. If nobody has ever told you this, I'm saying that from the bottom of my heart. The Brownsburg, you people are nice. You people are good. But what I want to emphasize here this day, let us don't practice any form of syncretism. Let us don't take two different kind of things and fix it up with sand and say it is good for food. Do not take the sand. Do not put it in anything that looks like sand that is edible and say it's good. That's what syncretism is all about. People says that they are landed men. They know what to do. So they do not see anything wrong if they bring new ideas into the church and start teaching that. But they fail to realize one thing. They fail to realize that in the Revelation, Revelation chapter 22 closes this way. It says in verse 16, 17, to the end, I read, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the spirit and the bride says, come. Let him who hears come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him come, take the water of life. If you are here today with us, probably you have not been, you have not met the prerequisites of the gospel to become a Christian. Listen to these words of Jesus. The Bible is saying we should come and accept the word of God. And the Spirit and the bride says, come. Let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify to everyone who hears the word of the prophecy of the book, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of the prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Verse 20 reads, he who testifies to these things says, surely I'm coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord and Jesus Christ be with you all. I hope I've not been too loud for me not to have heard that small bell. Have they rang the bell? They have not yet? I should continue, should I? Okay. Because I have one or two more scriptures that we need to look at quickly. Talking about this Colossian heresy in Colossae and in Ephesus and in Thessalonica, we'll take a quick look at Paul writing to the church at Thessalonica. And in 2 Thessalonians. Let me get that. Okay. Paul wrote, it says the following. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. If you have your Bible, you quickly turn there and read. Chapter 2, 1 and the verses following says, now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask, verse 2 says, not to be shaken. Not to be soon shaken in mind or trouble, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no man deceive you. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. This is terrible. Has the falling away taken place? Yes, the falling away has taken place long ago. Even during the time of Martin Luther, at that university gate at Wittenberg, where Martin Luther wrote the 99 Theses, the falling away had taken place long before that with the Catholic Church. But here we were given this caveat, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Guess you know whom we're talking about here. We're talking about the Archbishop of Canterbury in England. We're talking about the Pope in Vatican City. We are talking about the Orthodox Church bishops, we call them. And Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica in verse 4, chapter 2, verse 4 says, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. This is terrible, isn't it? Do you remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things Paul continued to say? But this verse 4 in Thessalonians 2, maybe you may have read that, but probably you didn't caught what Paul was trying to say. Yeah, Paul was trying to describe a kind of a man, an ordinary man, who opposes everything that is God-like. He opposes the gospel. He opposes everything. And it sits in the church. That's the terrible part about it. It sits in the church behaving as if he is God. That's your Pope for me. That's your Archbishop of Canterbury for me. And so on and so forth of these men who are called the head of their churches. We had such a problem before. People like Dan Byers is seated with us here, John Smith, Brother Steve Niemeyer, and several others who had gone to Sierra Leone. They met the little school my wife and I we are operating. We had a signpost. We had a signpost. Written on the signpost was, "See how liberal we were, a Church of Christ-related school." Think about that. I wrote that, the Church of Christ-related school. So Brother Steve, Brother Dan, all those who went that way, especially Steve said, "But what is that? Where is the Bible? Did you get that?" And he spoke to me. He opened the pages of the scriptures and he said, "This is terribly wrong." Guess what happened? That same hour, that same minute, I quickly went, purchased some black paint, took the paint, looked for a brush, and wiped that out. How about that? So if we're here today, probably you're a visitor. If you have never heard that false teachers are around, I think it's about time for us to start thinking. Even if you are a member of the church at Brownsburg, probably you have never heard or you have never studied deeply about these false teachers. There are so many. They are so, especially in this part of the world. Paul warned that the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders. That's another catch line. They come with signs and wonders that will make you admire, that will astound you, that it will look so awesome. Say, what? That lady was not walking, and then this man touched the lady's head, and now she's walking? Little did we know that most of their things are tricks. They go far places and bring people, and then they tell them what to do, and then what? Those are what they call lying wonders. Some of them will go as far as 80. Some of them will go as far as Benin. I'm calling places where voodoo, juju is the order of the day, the worship of the devil. When you go to Haiti, you go to some parts in Nigeria, you go to Benin, which is the headquarters of voodooism, then they can empower you if you want to. Why am I saying this? Let no man fool you. For you to say, well, you are wasting your time. Do you want the American dream to be established in your life? This is what you do. Let's go to Benin. Let's go, they will fix some things for you. And in no time, within a space of 2.5 years, you will become a billionaire. Most people will be attracted by that, isn't it? So and Paul was warning the lawless one, Satan, is working with all power and signs and lying wonders. The wonder that we will be admiring are lies. Oh, lot of lies. It's just a way to extort money from you, from us, in order to go and build their empire. Lastly, the last of them that I'll mention was from Africa. Probably you may have heard a name called T.B. Joshua. Put that on your Google, or put that in any of the search engines, you will see the history or the life or character called T.B. Joshua. It was the embodiment of Satan. It was the embodiment of Satan. It was encapsulated by the power of the devil. It was doing some wonderful things. Even most of our ladies in the church used to admire, until I did some research about the man's life. Before I could complete the research to bring it out, this man died. Well, up to now, nobody knows the cause of death, but they said it was an heart attack. But we are hearing news that he poisoned himself because some English girls who were part of his discipleship in Nigeria escaped from the cult kingdom that he was having and wanted to expose him. So he killed himself. So it's just but a few that what we are saying, or what Paul was saying in all of these scriptures, the warnings, we have to take them very, very serious. Or else we may one day fall for this. We may one day be caught unaware and we see ourselves practicing the doctrine of demons. Or probably we join the cabal of the lawless one, Satan, and then we too will be practicing magic. And then the magicians, that's another story for another day. I want to say a big thank you to all of you looking at the congregation. Everybody is so seated hearing this small, short sermon being leashed out by me. I want to give a special thanks to God having allowed me to have traveled almost 6,000 to 7,000 miles to come here to say this, to help to perpetrate, to help to expose the warnings of Paul from the scriptures and the warning of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ himself in Matthew 24, he gave the same warning that false prophets will arise. So if Jesus, Paul, and the rest of the apostle, Peter and the rest, they did say this, then who am I not to say the same thing? False prophets are around us. They could come in the shape of women. They could come in the shape of young men. They could come in the shape of how you call this guy? Something Dalla, this black guy, who is a prophet too. Christo Dalla? Yeah, so all of these people are making money out of the gospel. They are merchandising the gospel, making money out of it, which is totally wrong. Then we ask the question, why is it that Zacchaeus quickly confessed to Jesus that I am a tax collector, but I've never stolen from any man? That beats my imagination. How would a tax collector say that? So you see, that was one fine lesson I've heard this day. I'm talking about Zacchaeus, and Jesus seeing the heart of this man, that this man's heart was clean. He gave himself an invitation, saying that today I'm going to spend a day in your house. We pray that we'll have this kind of opportunity where Jesus will, the Spirit of Jesus will enter into some of us and say, today I will go to your house and spend time. As for us, the Eldridge, they invited us to their home. Before coming, I told my fellow Africans, I said, wow. I said, I've been invited by a family. All my 60-odd years I've been living in this life, I've never slept in the same house with a white man. What a wonderful thing. With that, I say, I want to close. May the good Lord continue to bless us. May the good Lord continue to inspire us and give us the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. I think we're supposed to take a moment of silence, I guess, to reflect on what all has been said, and most especially the scriptures. Don't mind my personal words much, but please pay attention to the scripture. It's time for a moment of silence.